The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 19th through Sunday, February 25th, 2024. The commentary for February was written by Julia Ayala Harris, who serves as the president of the House of Deputies, the first Latina and woman of color elected to that position. She is passionate about issues of immigration, race and ethnicity, truth-telling, LGBTQ plus inclusion, and justice initiatives. She and her husband, John Harris, live with their daughter in Norman, Oklahoma. The commentary for Monday, February 19th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 2b. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." Agnes So Ku Ying, Agatha Lin Zhao, and Lucy Yi Zhenmei were three remarkable women who lived with unwavering faith and dedication to God, even as they suffered persecution and death for refusing to renounce their faith during China's Communist Revolution. They all faced interrogation and were tortured and executed in an attempt to make them relinquish their Christian faith. Their deaths were a tragic loss for the Christian community in China, but their legacy of faith and courage lives on, inspiring countless others to stand firm in their beliefs, even in the face of persecution and death. Their martyrdom reminds us all that the Christian life is not always easy or comfortable. It requires us to be willing to suffer and sacrifice for our beliefs, just as Jesus Christ himself did. We may not face persecution or martyrdom like these women, but we all face challenges in our daily lives that require us to be steadfast in our faith and to live our lives with a sense of purpose and meaning. And now I'm going to read the full passage for this Monday from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way.' The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 19th, is think about a time when your faith has been tested. Now the commentary for Tuesday, February 20th, the day on which we recognize Frederick Douglass. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. When we look at the life of Frederick Douglass, we can see how this verse applies to him. Born into slavery, Douglass faced immense challenges, but never lost faith in God. He used his God-given abilities as a powerful speaker and writer to fight for the abolition of slavery and for the rights of African Americans. He was a strong advocate for education and believed that knowledge was essential for freedom. He also recognized the importance of faith in God and used his experiences to inspire others. Douglass's life is a testament to the power of faith, resilience, and perseverance. It reminds us that even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, we can find the strength to overcome them. It reminds us that God's wisdom is greater than any human wisdom, and that it is through our faith in God that we can achieve true freedom. And it reminds us that even the weakest among us can become agents of change in the world if we only have the courage to believe. And now I'm going to read from the entire passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 31. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what God-given gifts are you using to advocate for justice for all? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, February 21st, Ember Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 20. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Today's scripture involves a fair amount of detail, so much so that you can almost picture it. Jesus rises to stand. He unrolls the scroll and confidently begins to read the words of the prophet Isaiah. The scroll is rolled back up. Jesus sits. The crowd is silent and wide-eyed as they wait for Jesus to teach. Jesus simply says that the scripture has been fulfilled in their hearing. That's it. After what is likely an awkward silence, Some members of the crowd began to ask questions of Jesus and his credentials. I can't help but think of those who remain silent, those in the crowd who, upon hearing Jesus read Isaiah, understood his message. Luke focuses the rest of the story on the noisy folks at the synagogue who want to drive Jesus away, but I choose to focus on those who quietly nod. These people internalize this experience on the synagogue steps with Jesus and commit to following him. These people bring about the fulfillment of this prophecy with their readiness for the gospel. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. And now the moving forward question for this day is, imagine you're among the crowd in the synagogue. Would you be silently nodding or asking Jesus more questions? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, February 22nd. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. "For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building." In this passage, Paul speaks to the Corinthians about their behavior and attitudes toward each other and how jealousy and infighting hinder their faith growth. He reminds them that they are all part of the same team, working toward the same goal, and their focus should be on building each other up, not tearing each other down. While the New Revised Standard Version translation uses the word servants, other translations say we are God's co-workers. I love this approach, the idea that we are partners with God in the work of building the kingdom. We are not mere spectators or passive recipients of God's grace, but active participants in the redemptive plan for the world. We need each other, just as a field requires different tasks, such as planting, watering, and harvesting. Each person has a unique role in God's plan. And just as a building requires different materials and structures, each of us has a unique combination to the, or contribution, I should say, to the growth and development of God's church. And now I'm going to read this full passage from 1 Corinthians. It begins with chapter 2, verse 14, and runs through chapter 3, verse 15. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. And the moving forward statement for this day is, send a few notes or texts of encouragement today, acknowledging the gifts of others in your life. And now let's listen to the commentary for Friday, February 23rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 16. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Again and again, Jesus' actions challenge us to rethink our attitudes toward the marginalized or excluded in our society. Do we have the courage to sit with those deemed unworthy by our culture or our biases? Can we see the divine in all people, regardless of background or identity? Jesus' abundant love made people uncomfortable because it was outside the rules. We don't heal on the Sabbath. We don't consort with those people. We have rules. We follow the rules. If we live into Jesus' love for all, how will this challenge us? How will it change us? Who will we become? Like the Pharisees in the readings, we are frightened by this approach. The mindset of scarcity produces fear and division. And doesn't that speak to us as a church right now? What is comfortable to us is scarcity. We are scared of abundance for all people because our worldview might shift and our own sense of self and others might be transformed. Let us strive to be like Jesus, who was willing to sit at the table with all people, even us. And now I'm going to read from the full chapter here of Mark. This is chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call, not the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, who do you need to invite to the table? Now the commentary for Saturday, February 24th, the feast day of St. Matthias the Apostle. It begins with a passage from John 15, verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." "Remain in me, dear child, and let my words take root within your heart and soul. For in your faith and trust, your prayers shall bear much fruit and make you whole. Ask what you will with purest heart, and I shall hear your every plea. My love and grace will never part, for you are precious unto me." In every trial and circumstance, abide in me, my faithful friend, and I shall lead you in my dance where joy and peace shall never end. So hold fast to my word and stay, and you shall see my power displayed. For I am with you night and day, and in my love you are remade. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of John, chapter 15, verse 1, and then verses 6 through 16. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name." And the moving forward suggestion for today is to write or read a poem about abiding in Jesus. Now, as we conclude the program for this week, let's turn to Sunday, February 25th, the second Sunday of Lent. It begins with a passage from Mark 8, verse 35. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. We live in a time of truth-telling in our culture and society. The Episcopal Church's history with racial justice in our church and the larger society, our involvement in indigenous residential boarding schools, and our culture of silence and acceptance around powerful differentials and harassment are receiving a reckoning. We are finally talking about these things openly, just like Jesus was talking about truth openly. When Peter rebukes Jesus immediately understands that it is the dark forces and principalities, the structural, cultural, and institutional systems that are trying to prevent him from speaking truth out loud. It is not his friend. Jesus tells Peter that he must lose his life in the culture to gain his life in Christ. When we speak truth against these systems, we lose our lives for the sake of the gospel. We fade away and the gospel ascends. Then we rest in the abundant grace of God and the love of our brother Jesus. And now I'm going to read from the passage from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in their adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And the moving forward question, what truth-telling needs to be told in your community? Are you the truth-teller or part of the system, or both? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me on our program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.